Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministry online radio show. I'm the presiding minister, Andrew McCarty, Chicago-based poet, known as Sister Poochie, here for another afternoon of worship and praising the great I Am and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to have a special guest, Ms. Kimberly Hovacs. Session is on today, and we will be hearing from her shortly, bringing a powerful word of God for us all. Now, don't forget to check out the ministry's website. There we have many, many resources for you. We have Bible study. Lesson 16 has just been put up. We also have Kimberly Hovacs, Christian Life Coaching. You can listen to some of the old episodes as far as also listen to this one. We have sermons. We have a prayer line and a spiritual consultation email. We have the Youth for Christ segment, and we have Airline with Free Miles, where we get around and talk about Jesus from 10 to midnight the next day. Okay, I am going to get Ms. Hovacs on the line right now. Hello, Ms. Hovacs, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Feeling okay?
Yes, I am. Exclamation point.
That's right.
Yeah. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, listen to the previous sessions. I know as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to this every month. And I know God has been just working you like Play-Doh.
Yes. So. Yes. You know, He's just awesome. And it's funny that you mentioned the exclamation point, because let me tell you, I have still been living off that and sharing that with everybody. And it's really been making a difference in my life, because I have been deliberate about being in search of that exclamation point on a regular basis. And so it really has been making a difference for me.
Oh,
so I'm very
wonderful.
Excited that God exposed that to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if he's showing it to you, he's showing it to me. I've been using it too. I know he's showing it to other people who are out there listening live or listening later to this.
Hello?
Hi, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I couldn't. I sound like I lost you completely.
No, not that.
Well, today, you know, I'm very excited about what God has wanted me to share for today. And, you know, one of the things that has been heavy on my mind is the fact that, you know, everything changes. So, you know, the world changes, people grow, situations change, we move through things, and we are so reluctant, so very reluctant to change so often. And, you know, it's just the nature of life to change.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that is the greatest issue with change is that people have a lot of fear. And people are just afraid of the unknown, you know, fearful for whatever reason.
Yes.
And a lot of times people are in situations that are not even good, are not even healthy. They're not even happy, but they still fear change.
Yeah.
You know, they fear the change just because it's different. And at least if they're unhappy, they can rely on that unhappiness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's familiar.
So, yeah, it's familiar, and they're comfortable. And you know what? Why rock the boat? I might get something worse. You know, I have some friends that use the saying, better the devil you know than the one you don't.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, I really think that a lot of times the reason why people are so afraid is because they can't find where God is in all of this change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know where he is, and so they don't really have their footing. You know, they're not confident. And what I think about when Jesus, you know, when he was in the boat and you know, when he was walking towards the boat that the disciples were in and he was on the water.
Yes.
you know, and, you know, if when we try to step on water, there's no footing. And a lot of people really feel that every change in their life is exactly like that, trying to walk on water where there's just nothing there and you're just going to hit something and you don't know what, and you're trying to walk on the water. And so what God wanted me to talk about today was how to hear from God, how to understand the common everyday ways that God talks to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often, you know, when I'm talking to people, I'll say to them, you know how God speaks to you.
Exactly.
And most people do know at least one way that God speaks to them, but a lot of people only know that one way, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
what happens is there are going to be times when, you know, God plays hide and seek. You know that.
Yes.
Because he's trying to stretch us and trying to get us to know another side of him. And so you're talking to him and hearing from him in a certain way, and all of a sudden you hear nothing. All of a sudden you feel like you're all by yourself.
Right.
So you become unsure.
Yes, yes.
Right? And you're wondering, hey, God, where are you? And he's like, I'm over here. If you would just listen, I'm over here. If you would just, you know, and we tend to do that. The other thing is I often just take for granted that people do know how God speaks to them, and they don't. And so they're always, you know, waiting for the next minister, the next leader, the next pastor to tell them what God is saying. And they're never able to confirm what they're being told for themselves. So God just wanted me to share today some of the ways that I know that he speaks to me, because some of the ways that he speaks to me is definitely some of the ways he speaks to other people. And
Amen.
So that's really what we're going to spend some time talking about.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So one of the ways that God speaks to me is through dreams. You know, in the Bible, you know, it'll tell you that Joseph was able to read dreams. God speaks through dreams, tells us what's going on. If you look in the Bible, as a lot of Bible stories, there were people who were able to interpret dreams. God talks through dreams.
Yes,
he tells
does.
People what's going on in dreams. It's biblical. You know, sometimes we get people that are afraid of that kind of thing. They start thinking that's like astrology and it's witchcraft. It's not. God
it's not,
speaks
no.
through dreams.
And
that
you have to remember, I just have to interject there. That is the time he can get your undivided attention.
Absolutely.
It's because you sleep.
That's true. That's
yeah,
very
exactly.
true.
Yeah.
That's very true. God started speaking to me in dreams from my recollection when I was in about seventh grade. And so that made me about 11, 12 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, there are several things about dreams that I want to share with people before I really talk about some of this. The first thing is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can't remember my dreams. You know, I'm too tired. When I wake up, I don't remember what they are. Let me just give you a few hints about what to do with regard to that. Because I went through periods myself when you know that you were dreaming or you had dreams or something, you wake up and you don't remember. Part of the problem is that you wake all the way up. You know, you're in a different level of consciousness when you're dreaming. And so when you take yourself out of that level of consciousness, no, you're not going to remember.
Go ahead.
I never have
a Yeah, you have the. I'm sorry. That was my alarm telling me don't miss the show.
Oh. That
Oops.
Is
okay.
funny. Oh, my gosh, that is so funny.
Okay. And, okay, all right, carry on.
So, you know, the thing is that you're in a different level of consciousness, and you really don't want, when you wake all the way up, you're not going to be in that dream state the way you were a few minutes before. So one of the things that I learned was to keep either a notebook or even something that I could tape record myself so that while I'm still in that halfway place, as soon as I wake up, I begin writing down the things that I remember about the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay?
This way I might be able to go to it later. It might jog my memory of what it was that I was what I was dreaming about. The other thing is that when you're in these dreams, you have to remember a few things. Remember how you feel, because emotion plays a big part of it. If you feel anxious, if you feel exceedingly happy, if you feel frustrated, angry, your emotions play a big part of it. The other thing is color. You know, some people say that, you know, you rarely dream in color. Some people say you only dream in black and white, you know, or vice versa. I have always dreamt in color. I've only once had a black and white dream, and that wasn't that many years ago.
Wow.
And you know, just if you have color, remember color, especially colors that ignite a feeling within you, or if there's a particular color that really stands out. Remember those colors, because those things stand for something, okay? Another thing about dreaming is that if you dream about a house or a certain room in a house, understand that you are dreaming about yourself, your soul, your spirit, and all the different rooms. They actually mean something in particular about what's going on within your life. So always notice if you're dreaming about a house, especially if you're in a house that you've never been before. Remember that. Now, when you want to go to interpret dreams, if you go and you Google, you can Google biblical interpretations of dreams, and you can find all kinds of websites that will biblically help you to biblically interpret what your dream means. So you don't have to worry about being involved in some kind of strange, you know, dream book where people are, you know, discerning things a little bit differently than what Christians would do.
Right.
You can discern what's going on from a Christian perspective, so you don't have to be afraid of your dreams.
Right. And you know, you can also, besides doing that, well, before you do that, you can go to Christ and ask him the Holy Spirit to guide you through what the dream meant. You know,
and the other thing is that in the process of that too, because sometimes I want to make sure that people understand, sometimes you might find something in the Bible, and sometimes you may not. It may just be something in everyday life that God uses to show you. God is only going to use the Bible to show you something. God will use whatever is available to use.
It's right. You're absolutely right. Right.
Because you know how sometimes we get, and it's like, well, it's not in the Bible, so it can't be true. Well, God created the whole world.
Yes.
He didn't just create the Bible.
Yes, and what makes you think he's not doing a new thing in you?
Exactly.
Every new chapter in the Bible starts out with a vision or a dream or something that brought the people to where in the divine order that God needed them to be in to fulfill the vision that God was trying to give them.
Right. Right, exactly. You know, and before we move on, I want to make sure that I talk to people about some ways to be open. Because I think it's going to be important to hear now at the beginning of this as opposed to me staying at the end.
Okay.
All right, so, you know, when you're trying to be open to the way God speaks to you, do yourself a favor. Just be open and don't close yourself off from him. And never, ever make the decision that you're not worthy to hear from him. You know, we're not worthy of anything. And sometimes what happens with people is they, you know, they feel like, you know, oh, I'm a sinner or I'm not good enough, and therefore I'm not worthy to hear from God or for God to bless me in this way. And so we close ourselves off. We do exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? And
right.
We turn ourselves away from God. Don't do that. You know what? When you are in a place where you are not everything that you need to be, you need to hear from God more than anybody else. Okay? So don't close yourself off. God wants to talk to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you direction. He wants you to be comforted to know that you are moving in the right place, regardless of where you were even a moment ago. God wants to move you forward. So don't close yourself off to him. Be open to him.
Amen.
You know, be open. You know, I can't tell you anymore. I mean, I'm so passionate about the concept that people really need to be open to whatever it is that God has in mind.
Right. Right.
Okay. So that's the first thing. So, yeah, so with regard to the dreams, you know, always whenever you want to hear what God is saying, you need to say to him, I want to hear what you're saying.
Yes.
You know? I mean, you need to be able to do that. You need to say, mm-hmm. I need to hear what you're saying. I want to get some direction.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk to you. You know, whatever the case might be, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes we forget to actually tell God what it is we want.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. and then we're wondering why it's taking so long to get it. Or we'll say, well, he knows what I need or he knows what I want. Yeah, he does, but he wants you to ask.
You have to ask. You have to. It's a requirement.
Yeah. Open your mouth and ask.
It is so interesting when you were mentioning Peter trying to walk on the water. He mm-hmm. did walk on the water as long as his eyes were on Jesus. It's when we take
exactly.
our eyes and our attention and our thoughts away from Christ, that's when we fall and fumble and stumble, you know, instead of being focused on what are you trying to tell me?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what, that's the perfect place to go when it comes to talking about dreams. Because, you know, one of the reasons why there are a lot of people that are skeptical about dreams and dream interpretation is because what happens is that people become dependent upon the dream and the dream interpretation or the one who's doing the interpretation of the dream. And they're not dependent upon the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the issue is who are you dependent upon?
Exactly.
Right? You need to be dependent upon God and understand that he does speak to you through your dreams. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you have dreams and your dreams are only about evil things and devastation and all that kind of stuff, I would check that.
Yeah.
You know, I really would. I would check that. I would want to know, Lord, is that you? Why are you talking to me like that?
You know? Right.
You can't say that we are worshiping a God that is so wonderful, so good, always wanting to bless, you know, and then the only thing that he has to talk to you about is devastation. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, there is something wrong with that. Your interpretation is a little askew.
So, you know, just be careful with that, you know?
Yes.
Be very open to the fact that, you know, God does speak through dreams. The other thing is pay attention who's with you in these dreams. Sometimes it'll be people you know. Sometimes it won't. I tell you, I often have dreams, and I may not know who's with me, but I feel like they are people that I know intimately.
Okay.
And I feel that they know me intimately. And so it tells me that I am in the spirit. And whoever it is that I'm with, it's not so much the person that God wants me to be aware of, but the spirit that he wants me to be aware of.
Absolutely.
You know, through my dreams, I have been warned of things. I have been given direction, often given direction. I mean, all the time given, you know, just through my dreams. My mother actually used to have this amazing gift, and she asked God, please take it away, because it got to be a bit much for her at a young age. But she was able to go to sleep. You know, if something were to happen, she was able to go to sleep and wake up and tell people what exactly happened, who was involved, and what went on in that situation.
Whoa.
Amazing. You know,
and
truthfully, the reason why it kind of frightened her a bit is because she was able to determine that her mother was going to pass.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And at that point, she was like, you know what? I don't really know if I can handle this gift. And she was very young. You know, she was like, I don't know, early 20s, you know, when she was able to determine those kind of things. That was too heavy of a weight for her.
You know,
but my mother is very highly prophetic. And even now still sees things through dreams and visions and prophecy and that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, God speaks to anyone that wants it in whatever way that you're willing to receive it. So don't be afraid of the dreams. Okay? The other thing is that God speaks through signs. Sister Pucci? Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Hello?
Minister Hovak, are you still there? Minister Hovak, are you still there? Well, we're having some real technical difficulties here. Minister Hovak, can you hear me? Okay, everyone. Hold on, there she is. You're getting really heavy and hot there, I see. You dropped it.
Yeah, and I tried to call back on my cell and couldn't get through.
Yeah, the whole, I went off, everything, and everything's just shut down. For
wow.
No reason. So,
okay.
Okay, well, we're going to recover from this. live radio, you never know what's going to happen.
You really don't. You really
okay.
don't. But you know what? It always tells me that we're on to something.
We're on to something, exactly, because now all the circuits fried. It went, like, hello.
Wow.
Okay. Try to remember where you last left off, and let's carry on.
Okay, well, I was going to go to the next way that God speaks. And
okay.
He speaks to us in signs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, he spoke in signs. He still speaks in signs today. I want people to recognize that. There's nothing that God did in the Bible that he doesn't have the ability to do today. I know
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people say, well, that was for the Bible times, but not for now. It's really not true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what
Amen.
The Bible tells us. And so
mm-hmm.
he spoke in the Bible through signs. He speaks through signs now. I remember a situation that I was going through. This was probably back in like 1997. It was an issue I was going through with work. I had been out sick, and while I was out sick, they reorganized. They were trying to, you know, not only was my job eliminated, but they were trying to tell me they didn't have a place for me. You know, like all kinds of stuff was going on, and I was very concerned about it. I was distressed. You know, coming back from having surgery, being sick, no one telling you anything's going on, you come back, and they're like, I don't really know what we're going to do with you. And my attitude was, well, you're going to find a place for me to go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
remember going to the mall with my mom. And we got out of the car, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw a rainbow.
That's it.
I had never in my life seen a rainbow before.
Really?
I had never seen one before. I really didn't. You know, like sometimes you have to realize that, you know, there are times when, you know, you read things that you realize that they're true. I didn't even realize that they were really true as far as rainbows in the sky because I had never seen one before. And I looked up, and when I saw that, first of all, that in itself was amazing to me. But
uh-huh.
my mom looked up, and my mother said, oh, that's your sign. Everything's going to
yes.
be fine. Don't
yes.
worry about it. And when you look at in the book of Noah, you know, the book of Noah says that after the flood, God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his agreement with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's his covenant with us.
It's his covenant with us.
Absolutely. And you know what? I had such a peace. Of course, everything worked out just fine. I went on to work with the company for another like 12, 13 years. And I left when I was ready to leave, you know.
Okay.
And it was a great, fantastic thing, you know. But the point was that he showed me a sign. When I finally left the company, and, you know, when I left the company, I didn't have another job to go to. It was kind of crazy. But God told me that not only that it was okay for me to leave, but that he wanted me to leave. And so there was a period of time, you know, afterward, I realized that he wanted me to go into coaching and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I was a bit concerned starting my own business, never having done it before. And there was a period of time when I didn't have any work, and I wasn't sure what to do. And I was on a train going into Philadelphia. I was going in for a work assignment that I had gotten, but I had just started my company. So these assignments were very few and far in between, you know. And I was sitting on the train. I was concerned, and I looked up, and I'm riding. If you know anything about New Jersey, then you'll know that the area of Camden is one of the worst areas in the state.
Okay.
One of the worst in the state. And actually, their crime level ranks in the top five in the country.
Wow.
Okay. So I was on this train, and I was and we were going through Camden, and I looked up on a telephone line, and there was a white dove sitting on the telephone line. I looked at it, and I looked away, and I said, "That can't be a dove." And I looked again, and I said, "What would an all-white bird be doing here? What?" And I'm like, and then within me, the presence of God said, "It's a dove."
Yeah.
You know? And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my God. God is telling me to have peace, that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And of course it was.
Of course. He uses agriculture, and he uses animals a lot to convey things to me. Everything is a white dove meaning peace. So, you know, the Lamb of God, stories about agriculture and growing things. And so he just uses everything around us to communicate.
He absolutely does. We had a situation at a church that I belong to about 3 years ago. And there was a lot of farmland, you know, in the area of Jersey where the church was situated. And there was a lamb that one particular Sunday got loose and, honest to God, ran, I guess, around 2 miles or more and came up onto the property of the church into our church during offering time. The thing that was odd was that in order for the lamb to get to our church, it wasn't a straight line from where he came to where we were.
Okay.
Okay. It was like he was on a main street. He had to make turns and everything to get to where we were. And he was brown.
Wow.
Now, I had never seen a brown lamb before. Like, I knew they existed. I had never seen one. But what are the chances that this lamb is going to leave his farm, come running down some main highway for like 2 to 3 miles, find this little tiny church that's back up in the woods, come into the church at offering time?
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances of that? You know, so I just want people to know that when you get a sign, accept that it's a sign.
Yes,
don't brush it off as coincidence. There is no such thing as coincidence.
No. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for this, you know. Our God speaks to us directly, speaks to us firmly, and speaks to us in truth.
Absolutely.
I know. Yeah, That's my amen corner over there.
Now, you were just saying that God speaks to you through agriculture and animals?
Yes, exactly. That's my amen corner. That's what I said. Don't say shush. He's agreeing with me.
Yeah.
But you have to take every little incident that happens and find God within it.
You do.
You do.
Yes.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And you know, the thing is that, you know, this might sound kind of strange to people, but I really want them to understand, God really does work like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more you are willing to watch nature, the more signs you will see from him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, he's speaking to us all the time. We just don't notice the signs.
And you know, a lot of times we see the sign, we read the sign, and then we ignore the sign.
We absolutely do.
And
then
like,
he gives us another sign.
Yes, it's going down a hallway. It's like, please stop now. Road ends in 50, you know, feet.
Right.
On brakes. And then we're going off the cliff, and then we're going, oh, Jesus, God, help me, Lord Jesus. He said, well, I gave you the signs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's one more anecdote I want to share with you. I don't know if people have heard this about the man that was sitting on his roof in the flood.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pray to God to save me. And so some people come by in a boat and they said, you know, come on, hop in. We're going to take you to safety. He said, no, I'm going to sit here and wait on my God. And then somebody came by in a helicopter and said, come on, we're here to rescue you. He said,
yes.
Oh, no, I'm going to wait for my God.
Yes.
And then
yes.
when he finally gets to heaven, he's like, God, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent you a man. I sent you a helicopter. I sent you a helicopter.
Right. Well, you know what? But it's so, you know what? We can laugh because it is funny, but it is so true. Because we're
so
always
true.
Waiting for some, I don't know what kind of sign we're looking for. Right? God uses the tools that are available in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to have a star come down and shine right in front of your doorway. Right?
No.
If a star came down, first of all, the stars are so big, they blow everything up. So they're not as little as they seem. They're just that far away. You know? So let's get real. What God is trying to get people to understand is that he uses very conventional things. You know, when it comes to people, we always say that God uses the most unlikely in the most amazing ways. Well, the same thing is true of how God speaks to us on a regular, everyday basis. He uses the very common, ordinary things. These are the things that would trip everyone up. The reason why, you know, the Jewish people are still looking for the Messiah is because they expected him to come a certain way. They couldn't
mm-hmm.
accept that he came normally. They couldn't accept that he came as a normal person, that he didn't come as the child of someone that was in the palace. They couldn't accept that. They couldn't
mm-hmm.
accept that he was an ordinary man. And so when he came and lived amongst them, even though he was so profound in his teaching that they couldn't understand how it was that he had such knowledge when they were the ones who were educated and he was defeating what they had to say, they couldn't understand that, but they also couldn't accept that he was just the Messiah, that he came from God. Couldn't accept it. I'm really curious. I wish that I could know how many signs God gave to them to show them that he really was the Messiah.
Well, you know, one of the things he told them in Malachi, he told them that the spirit of Elijah will come before the Messiah comes. But they didn't read any further into the New Testament to find out that the spirit of Elijah rested on John.
That's
so Elijah did come.
He did come, absolutely.
Yeah, he did come.
But they thought that John was some crazy man in the wilderness.
They missed the sign.
That's right.
You know, I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, well, we're waiting for Elijah. And he said, well, he didn't come the way you thought he was
The way you expected,
come.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, what were you expecting, a ghost?
Yeah, or
you know, really,
person.
I mean, right. He didn't come looking the way they expected, and so they rejected him.
Yes.
And this is what we do to the signs of God when he shows them to us. It doesn't come in the manner in which, same thing with blessings, by the way. It doesn't come the way we expected, and so we refuse to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why we haven't received that thing when we've done all the things that God has told us. God has said, turn left, we turned left. He said, move right, we moved right. He said, give, and we gave. He said, fast, and we fasted. You know what I'm saying? We've done all the things that God said, and then God says, okay, now I'm going to give you this blessing. The blessing comes, and you won't receive it because it doesn't come the way you expect it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And God is saying today, please understand that I don't speak to you the way you expect. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I am not man. I am not man.
Yeah.
But I will use the common things to confound the wise. Understand that I'm speaking to you in a normal, everyday language, in simplicity, but you have to see it in spirit and in truth. If you don't receive it in the spirit, you're not going to see it, because otherwise it's just a rainbow, or it's just a dove, or it's just a lamb. You understand?
Yes.
It's just that, unless you receive it in the spirit. You have to receive it in the spirit. Otherwise, you just won't have it. So, you know, you really have to get real with the presence of God inside you. And understand when God is touching that spirit inside you. And when you feel that, go with it. Go with it. And that brings me to another way that God speaks. He speaks inwardly. You know, it's that still small voice that says, don't do that. Right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's that voice
yes.
that says, you don't want to eat that.
And he doesn't, plus, you know, he doesn't raise his voice.
He's not going to argue with you.
No, he's not.
You know, he's really not going to argue with you, because it doesn't make sense for him to argue with the fool. Right? So
right, exactly.
He's going to give us some direction. You know,
and
it's
I'm
that
not
voice. It's that voice that says, you know, listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Turn left.
Right.
Don't say that. You know, we all have that. We call it our conscience.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit within.
It's the Holy Spirit within us. Is what we have to do is become conscious of it, but it's not
That's
our
right.
self-conscious.
That's
you
right.
Know,
and the more that, I find it's like a muscle. The more that you listen, the more that you heed and you do what that voice says, the more you hear the voice speaking.
And don't, you know, a lot of things that happen to me, another way that God speaks to me is I'll be heading out to the doctors or going somewhere in particular and totally get sidetracked and end up somewhere else. And that other place totally blessed me.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to switch and change directions at the drop of a dime.
Absolutely.
He might say, don't go there, go over here. And
right.
That's how Jesus dealt with people when he was on earth with his ministry.
That is absolutely true.
Don't talk to the guy in the red hat holding a donkey, and he's going to take
That's
you to
right.
the house.
That's right. That is so true, right? But see,
right.
This, but then again, this is what we're talking about. You have to be open to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to hear what seems unlikely. You have to be willing to be led and to allow God to lead you. You have to put down fear and accept that it's the spirit that's talking and to move with it. They're just, you know, you just have to accept that. And that's when you're going to be able to receive the true blessing.
Right.
You know, you're not going to receive it in your own mind, in your own way, in your own thoughts, in your own decisions. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and remember that God's truth is all truth. I probably used the example before that, you know, we're all here and we're witnessing the same thing. We all have our own account of what happened, but God's account is the full account. You see, it's not that our account is necessarily off. It is what we saw, but we didn't see the full picture. God saw it from the left, from the right, from underneath, from inside, from outside, from above, from diagonal. He saw it from every point of view, and therefore God's view is full. It's kind of like in the Bible when it talks about the fullness of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
God's view is full. So when he's dealing with people, he sees the fullness of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He doesn't see the piece that person is willing to show. He sees the fullness of a person. So when we're dealing with people, we see the peace that we have experienced with them. We see the peace that person is willing to show. But when God says, no, don't befriend this one, befriend this one. And the one that he's telling you to befriend is the one that seems that you shouldn't be bothered with. That's the one that's a little bit aloof. That's the one that seems a little bit off. That's the one that doesn't really want to talk to you a whole lot. But the other one is all in your face and seems to be exposing so much of themselves, and you seem to have so much in common. And God is saying, no, not that one, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you go and choose that one instead of this one, and then you find yourself in a mess.
Oh, yes. And
you know, because God sees the fullness. He sees the whole thing. And he also knows what he deposited in whom.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that. So you need to go with God. Allow that voice within you be the voice that guides you. I had a situation when I was much younger, in my early 20s, where I was driving a car without insurance. Had no business doing it. And I was driving. Look, please don't write, don't call in, don't do any of that, because I wasn't always as saved as I am now, you know.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something, I'm not all the way to the right yet either, but I'm a lot further to the right than I used to be.
That's the truth.
And so I was driving a car without any insurance, and the guy that I was, and I would go see this guy that I was dating, and we were just going through a thing, and he was like, we need to get out of the house. Let's go for a ride or something. He didn't have a ride of his own, right? So he wants to go for a ride in my ride, and he knows I don't have any insurance, but silly behind me, I decide to go ahead and go for this ride. And we go into this park, and I felt the presence of God saying to me, get out of this park. Okay. Now, at that time, I didn't quite understand that it was the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of that day, I knew, right?
Okay.
And never questioned it again. But I was coming around this curve because the park was built in a circle. And I felt this presence really, like, it felt like danger.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I had an expired sticker on my car. And I really felt like I should not be going in this direction, but there was only one direction for you to go to get out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have gotten out of the park before, but I wouldn't do it. I said, oh, no, I'm going to circle the whole park, and then I'm going to go out. Well, as soon as I got to what was near the area where I was going to leave, there was a cop car parked facing towards me, so facing the opposite direction. He sure enough saw my expired sticker and pulled me over. Okay? He pulled me over. I didn't have insurance, but he was nice enough not to take my car.
But he
said to me, you're going to have to go to court. And this is the honest to God's truth of how you can get tripped up with Satan. I was so terrified of going to court that I didn't go to court for 15 years.
Whoa.
Okay. I ended up maybe like 3-4 years after that, they finally suspended my license. Mm-hmm. Then I couldn't drive anymore.
Wow.
Okay. I was so terrified. I was terrified of going to court. I don't know what I thought they were going to do to me when I went there.
Put you in jail? I don't know.
You know?
You
know, look, you could tell I was never in trouble, right?
Okay, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But
you're
honest to God, that's the story of my life. I did not go to court. For a little while, I was crazy enough to drive without insurance. But then when I realized, you know, without a license or insurance, but when I realized how dangerous that really was, I stopped driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I started working in New York. And so I didn't really need my car. But let me tell you, when I moved to South Jersey, girlfriend needed her car. And so I had to face that. You know, I had to face that.
Yeah.
You know, and I did face it. And it was an amazing story when I finally did, because I went to court, and God was pushing me, go handle this, go handle this. And it was, again, that same kind of feeling that was, you must get this done, you must do this, you must do this. I went to court, and God said, go by yourself. I said, okay, I'm going to walk into the courtroom by myself. When they called my case, I stood up. The judge says, what happened here? It's been 15 years, right? I didn't say anything. And he said, how do you plead? There was a cop on the other side of me. He was shaking his head, no, no, no. And I looked and I said, guilty. And the cop throws his hand against his head like, oh, no, right? And so the judge says, guilty, right? And I'm like, yeah. All of a sudden, I kid you not, the prosecutor jumps up and says, Your Honor, I'm looking over this case. I'd like to step out in the hall with this young woman if it's okay. And the judge says, sure, fine. Calls a recess in the court. The prosecutor takes me outside. The prosecutor says, how old were you when this happened? I told him. He says, and you were living with your parents, right? Yes. This was your car? Yes. All right, you had insurance and it lapsed, yes. Your parents drive, yes. Your parents had insurance, yes. Next thing I know, I go back into the courtroom. The prosecutor fights my case for me, and they gave me all of my money back.
Confuse them, Jesus, confuse them. I love it, confuse it.
I went upstairs. They wrote me a checkout for the money that I had paid and all these fines and all this other stuff. They restored my license. Okay, I didn't have to put any money out. And then when I got in the car, my mother was waiting for me outside. When I got in the car, she said, what happened? I said, I don't know.
That's another sign.
Okay. Let me tell you what God said to me. God said to me, my people are everywhere.
Yes.
He said, the prosecutor was my man.
Mm-hmm.
My people are everywhere. And that's the other point that I want to make. God speaks through other people.
Yes, he does.
He speaks through other people. We are so quick to say that this person is not really filled with the Spirit. This one's always trying to give me a prophecy. Don't be so quick to turn people off because you feel that they prophesying, right?
Right.
Don't be so quick. Do yourself a favor and receive the word, but go to God with it.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? God has people everywhere. You don't know what God is going to put on the heart of someone else. And when God is trying to get something to us, he's going to do it through another person. That's why connections with people are so important. The other thing is, you don't know who God is going to use. Don't assume that he's going to use a Christian. It may not be. He might use a Muslim. He might use a Buddhist. He might use someone who is an atheist. And he's doing it to prove a point to them and to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Do yourself a favor and don't be so quick to turn it away and say, God would never use this person. This person's a liar. This person's a drug addict. This person's a thief. This person's white. This person's black. Don't be so quick to say who God is going to use to get something to you. God uses other people.
Yes, amen.
And he has his own reason and his own method. You may never know the reason why or the method. For all you know, somebody might say to him, if you're really God, bring someone to me that needs X. If you're really God, make someone come to me that's wearing a green shirt. If you're really God, you know what I'm saying? We don't know what people are challenging God with. So don't be so quick to turn away and say, nope, God's not using you. I don't believe that God is using you. I don't believe that God told you. I'm not accepting this from you.
What a mistake.
It's a mistake. Oh,
yes,
God wouldn't give me this. Sometimes God is going to give you something because it belongs to someone else.
That's so true. That's
right?
So true.
I mean, that's a true test of wills right there.
Yes, it is.
Because sometimes the thing that he gives you is something that you really might want, but it belongs to something else, someone else.
Yeah.
You know, God is so specific, but we don't understand it. He is specific. you know, nothing by accident with him.
No, never.
Everything is calculated. If you look at just how our galaxy, forget everyone else's galaxy. If you look at how our galaxy is made, the Earth is exactly on the axis that it needs to be. The sun is exactly the distance away from us that it needs to be so that it warms us at the right time and it cool. It's not too hot, you know, that it's burning stuff up. You know, God is very specific. The moon is a certain way, and there's phases of the moon as a result, and that causes the tides to come in and to go out. I mean, how specific is he?
Yes.
He's so specific. Even with people, I saw a study on television one time that speaks to how we look as people, and it has to do with where, you know, where in our ancestry we grew, you know, we came from. And people who are of Asian descent, their eyes are squinted. You know, it's I don't want to use that word, but you know what I mean.
We have a phone call that's on the air too.
Okay.
Let's take that real quick.
Let's take that.
Hello, Sister Soul Power. You're on the air.
Hi, blessings, peace to all of you and love. I just was really listening, and I wanted to become a little more mobile, so I went on the Skype to finish listening. But you all are right on point.
Thank you.
Of what you're saying right now, and I think it's so important for us to remember the uniqueness that we've been honored with by God. You know, so many times we're so busy trying to imitate everyone else, we forget. It's an honor to look the way you look. It's an honor. It's not a, you know, I talk about that just this week. I did a program about that, you know, understanding that beauty, in particular for women, it was geared toward women, but I just talked about how beauty, what people thought was beautiful years ago or 100 years ago, is not what they find beautiful today. But that we have to remember that just like the flowers that God has created, you don't hear a daffodil saying, oh, people always want the rose. They don't want me, so I'm not going to grow. Or I'm going to try to
change
my genes.
You
know, because that's not what God is. God has a population that's going to honor and respect and love. And quite frankly, over in England, the daffodil is more important than a rose. So,
exactly.
This is my first time listening in, but like I said, I wanted to get a little more mobile and kind of do a few things around, you know, while I listen to you. But I'm giving you support and honor. And by the way, my name is Marian Afua.
Okay. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Same here. And they do call me Sister Soul Power.
They call me Sister Poochie, so.
I saw that. You know what? I'm going to be honest. That's why I tuned into your show. I said, Poochie, all right. I got to hear what Poochie's talking about.
And I have to tell everyone that Poochie is my family's nickname. My father gave me that name. And so he's a little bit part of this, too. So, Sister Poochie.
Well, I'm glad you're putting it out there because that is a part of your identity, and it is, as I said, that is what drew me to you at this program. And I saw your picture, but then, you know, and then I also saw the name, you know, Sister Poochie, and I said, all right, now I'm loving this. Let me see. I felt your energy. I was like, all right, now send it on to me.
I'm glad I stopped and put you on the line. So that you can share those thoughts with us. We really do appreciate it, your feedback, and thanks for listening, and we hope that you listen some more.
Yes, I will continue to listen. I'm gonna try to follow you after this show. So just continue to be encouraged. Don't let Blog Talk bother you. Keep doing it.
I will, and you be blessed, and we're going to get back to Minister Holdback so she can finish up her segment.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Go ahead, Minister Holdback.
That was so awesome, Sister Soul Power. Thank you so much for calling in and saying that. You know, it really is true. She reminded me of, Something that Oprah Winfrey said, she said to people, don't try to be Oprah because I've got that down. Be
right.
you. You know,
right.
the more we become who we are, the more we bless God and honor God, and the more
mm-hmm.
that we're able to do what it is that we were called to do. You so because
mm-hmm.
what we are called to do calls for us to be our most authentic selves.
And I want
you know?
People to realize something very important about what just happened. God just illustrated what you were talking about.
Yes, he did.
Right
he
on
did.
Air. Right
he
on
did.
Air.
He did. He absolutely
drop,
did.
He illustrated what you were talking about. So. Don't tell me about my Jesus.
And, you know, you said something that I didn't realize. You said that your father is the one who named you Poochie.
Mm-hmm.
My father did the same to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what he calls me. He calls me Poochie.
Yeah, Poochie.
That is
Poochie.
So funny.
That is great.
That's
here
so
for the
funny.
Dad.
I know, right? Yay for dad.
Yay for dad. Okay.
Yeah, but God, you know what? God will always confirm his word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's exactly what he just did with us. He confirmed his word.
Yes, he did.
You know, there are people that are going to be listening to this. If they're not listening to it live, they're going to be listening to this. And they're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to be reminded of some experiences that they have had. There are going to be some people that are going to say, wait a minute, I just had something like that happen. I should pay attention to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
one last thing I'm going to say before we sign off is the other thing that you need to be mindful of to know that God is speaking to you is when you start hearing, you start experiencing themes. And what I mean is that you have somebody tell you about something in particular, and then maybe you might read something that is the same subject, or you might see it on television, it's the same subject. For some reason, the same thing keeps coming up over and over. Hello, God is talking to you.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he's
he is.
Talking to you. He's trying to get your attention on this particular matter. You
mm-hmm.
know, so that is not a coincidence. When you have two or three friends who are not talking to each other contact you to talk about the same kind of thing, it's not a coincidence. God is getting your attention. So
yes,
pay
yes.
attention to things that happen in a theme, and if especially when you see it happening over a condensed period. You know, over the course of a week or a month, the same kind of topic keeps coming up in front of you on a talk show, on something you read, a book you're reading, a magazine, a website that you come across, you know, a conversation that you overhear. God is talking to you. So for
Amen.
Those of you out there who have been listening to people say, you know, how God speaks to them or maybe wondering how God speaks to them and you're listening to this and then you were wondering, God is talking to you. He
mm-hmm.
wants you to understand, look, I speak to you in ordinary ways. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be ordained. You don't need to be anything other than who you are. I'm talking to you.
I'm talking to you. Yes. Yes and amen to that one.
I hope that people really, really get that message, you know, that God is talking to them. That's really what God wanted us to really discuss today. We're going through all kinds of change. You know, just know that God is talking to you. Change is not difficult. He's going to walk you through it all if you're just willing to hear him and move forward. And it's okay if you make a mistake because he can
mm-hmm.
talk you through that too.
Yes.
He sees it all. You're never going to confuse him.
You're never going to confuse him. And you know what I love about God? He'll never stop trying.
No,
you.
Never.
He'll never leave or forsake you.
No.
He said he promises not to do that. So as you're trying to hone this gift, as you're trying to learn how to listen to your inner voice, which is the voice of Christ, as you're learning how to really know who God is, be patient with yourself because he's
that's
not
right.
through with you yet. You have to be patient with yourself.
That's right. Be patient with yourself. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. You know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the mistakes are okay. It's never too late.
Absolutely.
As long as you are breathing, it's not too late. Keep that in mind. It's never too late.
Amen. Amen. And yes to all of that. Okay, Minister Hovak, it's that time again.
It is that time.
Yes, and we got a little music that we're going to play, and hopefully coming up, your next segment will be the second Saturday of April.
Yes,
and,
it will.
And again, thank you so much for blessing us. Sister Soul Power, thank you so much for calling in. Also, stay on the line, though, because the show is not over. But everybody, continue to listen. We're going to go into our dance break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to wrap the show up. Love. And love you, my sister, with all
love
my
heart. Love you, too. Love
and
you, too.
God, I worked with you again today. That was a
praise
good one.
God.
Praise God. All glory
praise
and
God.
Honor. Okay,
absolutely.
Here is the dance mix for the week where DJ Frankie Vibes, our resident DJ, he is going to be ministering us to music. Now, remember, the dance break has two purposes. One is to get you off your feet and to rejoice in the Lord. Second is to try to figure out what the DJ is trying to tell us, because it's a ministry for him as well. So here's the dance break for the week. DJ Frankie Vibes, and here we go.
You're listening to Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix with DJ Frankie Vibe on the ones and twos.
Oh,
Thanks for checking out Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix.
All right, all right, all right. That was our resident DJ Frankie Vibe. And next Sunday, he will actually have his own hour show. So tune in. It starts at 4 o'clock. And I also want everyone to go to the ministry's website and check out everything that's going on, especially look at Bible study that is less than 16 that's available. So the website is www.sisterpoochie.com. That's www.sisterpoochie.com. Well, everyone, I love you all who listen live and love you all who listen later. May God keep and bless you until we meet again. And we're going to roll out of here like we always do with Society Hill Music. How great thou art. Everyone, peace, love, and blessings.